M. Annadurai, former director of ISRO. We also have Dr. G. Madhavan Nair, former ISRO chief. Jonathan Levy is space commentator. He joins me from London. And we have Pallav Bagla here in the studio. I'm going to begin with you, Dr. Nair. One view is that Moon isn't the destination. It's a springboard. Because all the information and exploration gathered would set the bar higher.
It's a remarkable achievement as far as the Indian space program is concerned. And we have, of course, collected a lot of data from the Chandrayaan 1 and Chandrayaan 2 about the surface features, mineral content, and so on. But now there's an opportunity to validate those information and look for the exotic minerals and helium-3, water, and so on. So this not only will give an idea about the resources there, but also it will give an idea about the ambience which exists on the lunar surface, especially near the South Pole. South Pole is attractive from many points of view that we can, if at all we are thinking of colonizing, water is available only in the region. And again, for the robotic exploration or launching to other planets, if we want to have the rockets to take off from there, the water can be split into hydrogen and oxygen and can be used as fuel and so on. Hmm. So it's a very important event. And India can be proud that we are the first to land a soft land a spacecraft on the southern region of the Moon. Certainly, this is going to not only a technological feat, but also going to bring in a lot of scientific information about the origin of the Moon and so on.
Yes. We also have Mr. Annadurai, known as the Moon Man of India, who served as the program director of Chandrayaan 1. Mr. Annadurai, from taking baby steps in space exploration in the 80s to the giant historic leap, many say that you have shown the path for what India has achieved. What, according to you, is next for India's space mission?
Yeah, one thing is, you know, this series of Chandrayaan 1, that means 2 came and 3 also has been accomplished. So the number of 3, 4, 5 may continue for Chandrayaan, that mission to the Moon for exploration is concerned. But each one of the numbers will be logical extension of the previous one. The first one is predominantly an orbital mission, lunar polar orbit that's there, and it has a modest impact probe. Subsequently, Chandrayaan 2 had a logical extension wherein supposed to have a lander, softly landing and have it a rover, and it has a setback at the last minute of that. That means to carry forward the unfulfilled target of Chandrayaan 2, Chandrayaan 3 has taken over and it has shown and it has fulfilled that as the target. And today we have the very softly landed, especially near the solar pole, polar region, south solar pole, south polar region. And that, and along with the Pragyan also moving out, and definitely that has shown softly we can land in unexplored terrain and do in situ analysis and paving a way for the subsequent missions, probably maybe sample return and things like that keep going for lunar exploration. Parallelly, whatever the courage it has given, the confidence it has given from Chandrayaan lunar mission, yes, I think we had already our modest presence, it happened in Mangalyaan around the Mars. Similarly, the Aditya 2 have a full-fledged science mission for the solar chronography and things like that, and the solar activity point of view. The mission is slated, I think, in a couple of weeks from now. That mission also will be launched, and all of them almost taking the path in which it is getting the target, be it meets a Moon or Mars, or a so-called Lagrangian point in between Sun and Earth. I think the initial paths will be the something similar, the unique paths, whatever ISRO has done. So that is keep going. Beyond that, yes, we have an exposat mission. Things like that also would keep coming for the exploration point of view. But notwithstanding that, not losing the focus on the societal needs, a good amount of reorganization is taken place. And the latest space policy by government also give the thrust, the arms to the private industries to come in a big way to meet both the national as well as the possible international needs in terms of the remote sensing, communication, navigation and meteorological satellites. So that way, I think one side keeping the societal needs being met to the using the space as the vantage point, another side going further into the exploration. It's a really, really a fairly good way Indian space program is poised, both R&D as well as taking the benefits to the societal needs point.
Yeah, you have made an interesting point with regards to societal needs. We have seen how India's space missions have been about weather predictions, security, natural resources. Do you see this moment as perhaps a turning point in India's position vis-a-vis the world in space dominance? And if I may ask, did you see this coming?
Yeah, it's definitely it's a fascinating science, and basically it is not just a chance. I think it is a calculated steps Indian space program has taken. If you recall, even Chandrayaan 1 itself, we have given an opportunity for the established space organizations to be part and parcel of Chandrayaan 1 mission, where India is taking the lead and giving an opportunity for the others, and such that's made to the whole Indian space program to the world that time itself, wherein we showed to the world a common wisdom will prevail other than individual brilliancy. And that's how even the previous 70 missions has not seen, would not see the water contents in the moon, but whereas Chandrayaan 1, though it's a first mission, modest mission, unambiguously discovered water on the moon, and thereby making the other nations look at India for Indian space program, start looking, and beyond that, now moon also being looked at in a big way. So that's one portion. Second thing is, yes, India also has taken it forward, and be it SARC nations, the satellite for SARC nations, or even as a part of the UNICEF 50, I think every year, the last 3 years, I think just before the COVID it has happened, and afterwards also it's continuing, I think last 3-4 years, every year 15 countries who are not spacefaring are brought to India, and they are being given an opportunity to look at what is the Indian space program, and what are the type of infrastructures we have. Beyond that, they have also given a hands-on experience to make the small satellites. Possibly this is something more like a seeding to the non-spacefaring nations, looking at the India's development, in which Indian space program is also playing a role, and also making a modest space science and exploration mission with the reasonably good success, with the just a token of the cost going over there. So putting all these things here, I've seen out of nearly 45 countries have been trained today. And out of that, at least a handful, 10 plus countries are showing an active interest to come forward, work with India to take their space efforts. And that is the fertile ground, as far as I'm concerned, for the new emerging space in India, for the societal needs point of view, while we are going ahead for the even further exploration. So both exploration as well as the societal needs, definitely the attention is from the countries, one from the developed countries and who are already active players in the space for the exploration mission. Other one, who are ready to come and join with India for their own benefits for the societal needs. So that way I see India is taking a very, very calculated move, and it is getting fructified. Now I'm seeing the signals of that to happen, both one side exploration front, another side for the routine, the missions, probably more of a commercial thing.
It is almost being seen as mini Apollo moment that India is experiencing right now.
That is true. And let me bring up for our viewers, Maria, this is a very rare show. You have two of our original moon stars, Dr. M. Annadurai. He was project director for Chandrayaan 1, Chandrayaan 2. And Dr. Madhavan Nair, my God, he is the original hero, and under whom also the human space flight program was really conceived. He is the one who conceived it at that point. Dr. Madhavan Nair, now that India is going ahead with its Gaganyaan program, remember you were the first one to propose that many years ago. We didn't go through with that at that time. Now we are going through it. Does it make you feel proud? First moon, now getting humans into space?
Certainly, I think this moment is, I am filled with full of satisfaction. The dream what we have had in 2005 about the Chandrayaan project finally fructified. Similarly, the man mission was very much on our agenda, and it is almost in the final stage of approval. But for some reason or other, it was put in a cold storage, and it is the Modi ji who has really dusted it and brought it up. And now it's well on its way, and I'm hopeful that within the next couple of years, we will have our astronaut flying in our GSLV Mark 3 safely to space and back to Earth. And of course, next step, we should be targeting reaching the moon as well. For that, next generation of launch vehicles are required. For again, the foundation for that has been laid. So I'm happy that whatever dreams we had in the early 2000 era is now being pursued by the ISRO, Indian Space Research Organization, in a vigorous manner. And we are able to stand shoulder to shoulder with the space powers globally.
And let me bring in Jonathan as well now. Jonathan, many countries like United States, Russia, Japan have attempted this in the past, but India achieved what all of them perhaps could not with this soft landing of Chandrayaan 3 on the moon, which is largely the South Pole part. Why do you think they failed and we succeeded? And what do you think has changed?
I think India persisted and learned from its failures and putting some very good technology and engineering to achieve this landing and to be able to make sure it got the right spot, a good spot to land in all the new processes it put in. And I think this has impressed certainly the worldwide space community. And this means that India's not only demonstrated its ability to have an independent space program, but that it could be a great partner for space agencies around the world to partner with them in helping them with their future ambitions. And I know India has already signed up to the US NASA Artemis Accords and has been working with the European Space Agency. So this can only put it in a better position going forward.
Do you see this tilting the balance of power in space exploration towards India? Because this feat is coming at a time the Luna 25 spacecraft, which was Russia's first mission in 47 years, crashed into the moon. Would you say that Russia, which was once a powerhouse of space missions, is seemingly failing and India is now rising?
I think India is definitely rising as a space power. It's demonstrated its abilities. It's done a lot over a short period of time. It has great ambitions, which I dare say, going on this sort of outcome, can be very successful going forward. And therefore, it has to be taken seriously, and it has to be seen as a prominent player, one of only four nations to have landed on the moon.
And Jonathan, what is the scientific community's anticipation in terms of what, Vikram will be able to find out? Because this is the dark side of the moon, which is now becoming India's bright spot.
Indeed. And the South Pole is very special. It's the sweet spot, if you like, for the future. It's the place where it's believed there is water ice, and this could be the first place to set up a permanent base on the moon. And the findings over the next 14 days could really help the whole world, the whole scientific community, understand more about the chemical composition and the geology in this part of the moon that could open up an amazing future for humans to go to the moon and have a permanent base there, and potentially that be a stepping stone to learning how to go on to places like Mars and maybe even beyond.
Yes, and given the kind of reaction and euphoria that we saw yesterday, Pallavi, you will also be, you know, sharing your thoughts on that.
I was ecstatic.
You were ecstatic. Mr. Annadurai, do you see this cultivating new generations of scientists, engineers, mathematicians, and perhaps many Annadurais?
I think yes, I think absolutely, absolutely, no doubt on that. Definitely, I'm seeing yesterday when I look at here, through media, I could connect to nook and corner of India. The school students, the way in which they are coming back. I was told, I think in Apollo era, that's what was happening in the US. I think much bigger scale it's happened yesterday in India. I think it's an unparalleled way. I could see the enthusiasm in which the people were glued to the thing and they were aware of that. I think I had an opportunity even to interact with some of the students thanks to the technology provided by media like you. And the way in which they're questioning shows how much they were aware. The way in which inquisitions they're having, I think shows that they have the miles to go ahead. So it is not a miles of Milesami and other. So many people, it's a possibility exist across the cross-section of the India and across the both boys and girls are doing extremely, extremely enthusiastic. So that way I see the science and technology of India is very, very bright. I was told it's a good percentage of Nobel laureates of US are the generations who have seen the Apollo era in yes, the budding students. Now I see a parallel system happening here. So 20, 30, 40 years from now, I think what is India is going to be is really, really a power in the East.
Dr. Nair, you know, India's voice will command greater attention after what happened yesterday. What do you think will change at the high table now? And that's a question also to Pallav.
I will answer it after Dr.
Nair. After Dr. Nair.
Well, certainly, I think the planetary exploration is going to be very much in the agenda as far as India is concerned. And Mars is the next destination where we should have closer look at it. In fact, Moon, we may be able to have a robotic observatory or remote stations and maybe excavate some of the minerals from there. But if at all we are thinking of an alternate habitat for humankind, it is a Mars. So Mars becomes important from that angle. Similarly, Venus, you know, it has been the hottest in the solar system, and the future of how it has turned to be so hot and what was the influence of the sun on the planet, etc., we need to study quite a lot. So that information will help us in looking at the planet Earth and what will happen in its future and what kind of corrective actions we need to take in terms of the climate change and related of course, we are looking at only the carbon dioxide to start with. But at the same time, the effect of the solar radiation is very, very important. From that point of view, the Aditya mission, what we are conceived, is very unique. We are going to have permanent observation from the Lagrangian point of the solar phenomena and simultaneously observe various things which are happening on the Earth. So that will give some handle. And similarly, about the study about the Venus also will throw some light as to the effect of the intense heat from the sun to help us to build environment in the planet Earth as well.
Okay. Well, the final words to you.
Oh, well, India made a very strong geopolitical statement yesterday by soft landing nearer the South Pole. It's not the South Pole, it's nearer the South Pole. And it happened when the Prime Minister was at the BRICS summit. In a couple of weeks, the G20 leaders are going to be in India. I'm sure Prime Minister Modi will not miss the opportunity to showcase ISRO to the G20 and the world. But going forward, we have Dr. Madhavan Nair and Dr. Annadurai here. When they started off the program for India's moon exploration, there was technology denial, there were sanctions. At that time, they conceived, and even during the technology denial era, Dr. Madhavan Nair, with a very large heart, gave American instruments a free ride to the moon, to NASA a free ride. Now, today, India is joining the Artemis Accords and signing it, and we are signing it, as equal partners. America also needs India's space technology. India also needs sophisticated technology from America. So
and
if a permanent, like Dr. Madhavan Nair said, if we need a permanent habitation on the moon and on Mars, the low-cost, high-quality technology will come from India.
Okay.
India will no longer sitting on a stool on the high table.
It
we
is
are
right
sitting,
there.
We are sitting on the high table on a high chair.
All
and
right.
I'm sure Prime Minister Modi will ensure that we get the right place in the Committee of Nations in space technology and nuclear technology.
Thank you.
And Dr. Madhavan Nair laid the foundations along with
Congratulations, Dr. Nair and Mr. Annadurai, to begin with. And thank you so much for your time here, Pallav Bagla, Dr. Nair, Jonathan, and Mr. Annadurai.